Our lesson text was taken from the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul now is in chains. Acts 27, we are. And in this text, we want to look at storms. Storms. Paul is in a storm. Someone said that tough times do not last, but tough people do. And I don't really know about that last part of that statement, but I am certain about the first. Tough times do not last, but people with faith in the Lord last forever. You can outlast storms. You can outlast storms. You can outlast the storms that's in your life. And this passage that we are dealing with today gives us a little insight on how to do just that. Paul's journey to Rome was filled with danger and the potential for destruction. As they sailed towards Rome, their ship was engulfed in a tremendous storm, and they all expected to die at sea. Paul's experience at sea stands as an example for you and me. As we journey towards heaven, church, we sometimes must all sail over stormy seas. Amen. We all will sail over stormy seas. Church, I want us to understand that sometimes the sailing will be smooth, all right, as we see in verse number 13. But most of the time, it is not. Mm-hmm. From verse 14 and on, we see that it's not so smooth. Often, church, the storms that rock our lives seems to threaten the very foundations that we stand upon. Right. Storms. Many times, these storms cause us to become discouraged and want to give up sometime. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there, church. And these storms sometimes causes us to just want to walk away. I believe there is help for everyone who is sailing in a life's storms. Life's storms is treacherous and they can be rough sometimes. Church, if you're not in a storm, I guarantee you, you're headed into one. You might be in a storm this morning, but you might be headed out of a storm. But you're always headed into a storm, church. So, church, this morning I want to look into these verses and find the help we need as I briefly speak on the subject this morning, outlasting life's storms. Outlasting life's storms. In verse number 13, look what the book says. Calm seas, calm seas. The Bible says in verse number 13. And when the south wind blew. Supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Now watch this here. They felt that they could move because the water was calm. Calm seas, they fool us into believing that the storms will not come. But the Bible says that they will. Church, let me tell you something. Sometimes everything seems to be going so good. Everything began to be looking really good. And then we sometimes can be fooled into believing that everything is going to be all right. And we take it and we look at life. Today is wonderful, but tonight a phone call can change your whole life. Storms, church, sometimes. And so here, the sailors believed that they could make it. That they could get in, that they could sail and make it. But let me tell you something. Storms, even as calm as the seas may be today, stormy times are coming. In Job 14 and verse number 1, the Bible says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Let me tell you something, people. People are born for trouble as readily as sparks fly up from a fire. That's what Job says in Job 5 in verse number 7. And let me say that again. Man is born to trouble. Trouble is on the horizon. It's not that we're, you know, it's not if we're going into trouble, it's when. Trouble is coming. Trouble is everywhere, church. And you know what? And the thing is, today we look at this stuff and we, for some reason, think that it's okay. That storms is not on the horizon. But I tell you this morning, church, storms are right on the horizon. Families are falling apart. Children are leaving the church in great numbers. Them storms. Sickness everywhere in our church. Folk are sick. Folk are dying every day in the church. Young folk dying. Drugs in the church. All of these things have infiltrated our ranks. The Bible says man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, just as sparks fly from the fire. Man is born to trouble. You might think it's all right now, but I guarantee you, keep living. In Job 16 and verse number 33, these things have I spoken, the Bible says, to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 16, 33, rather. Jesus says, listen, Jesus says, watch this. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you may have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Church, let me tell you something. Even in the midst of all of our storms, we can have peace. We can have a peace that surpasses human understanding. Peace. Let me tell you something, church. If you don't have peace this morning, you need to really check your spiritual gauge. Storms are there. The boat is going to rock. The boat is going to shake. But in the midst of all of that, you need to know that you have peace. Amen. Amen. And the problem, I'm telling you, church, the problem is that too many of us do not have peace. We don't have peace. We don't have peace. Why? Because we don't have Jesus in our life. We don't have the Spirit of Christ in our lives. Amen. And so when these storms come up, we don't know what to do with these storms. Right. Why? Because we don't have peace. And you know what? The church is missing peace. Peace. Amen. And that's why we get in these storms and we stay in these storms way too long. Way too long. You know why? Because we don't have peace. Amen. In Ecclesiastes 5 in verse number 15, as he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return, to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor which he may carry away. And church, let me tell you something. Look in our lesson text in Acts 27 in verse number 14. Watch. I want us to look what the book says. In verse number 14, the Bible tells us, it says, but the weather changed abruptly. A wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. Look at that. Disaster. It came up suddenly. That's how storms come in our lives. They just come out of nowhere. Amen. And disaster, when the severe storms came our way, we often feel as if events are out of our control. Verses 15 through 17, many fall into discouragement and many of us fall into despair. Some of life's disasters, we just get tired, church, sometimes when these disasters come about, when these storms come about. And then in verses 18 and 19, decision, the storm ought to make us take an inventory of our life. When these storms come up, we ought to begin to look at ourselves. We ought to take an inventory of our life. We ought not look at other folk. We ought to look at ourselves. They ought to make us take an inventory of our life and discard anything we do not need. We need to get rid of all of the stuff in our lives that's causing us problems. Amen. Nothing happens to a child of God that he has not allowed to grow us up in him. Nothing happens to us, church, without God's approval. In Romans 8 and verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Amen. And to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Church, everything, all things are going to work out. All things are going to work for the good. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 17, look what Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. The storm that you're in right now, the storm that you're going to enter in later. Amen. Let me tell you, it's only for a moment. It's only for a moment. What we have to do is just hang in there. Amen. Amen. And Paul says it's only for a moment, which is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And watch this here in verse number 20 of our text. Desperation. Storms will cause desperation. Even Luke gave up. When there is no daylight in your darkness, you may get to the place where you want to lay down and just die. Storms. I don't know if you've ever been there. Storms. Storms will cause you when there's no daylight. Look what the text says. I want everybody to go there real quick. 27 in verse number 20. Look what this book says. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out. Blotting out the sun. Blotting the sun out and the stars until at last all hope was taken away. All hope was gone. Because the sun was gone. The darkness was there. And when you're in that darkness, your life sometimes, I'm telling you, when you're in that darkness sometimes, you just give up. That's the problem, church. We stay in the darkness too long. Amen. We cannot stay in the darkness. And watch this here. Now sometimes when you're in that darkness, it just gets rougher and rougher and rougher and rougher. Let me tell you something. When you're in your storm, you can't get out that storm by yourself. Amen. You need the S-O-N. You need the sun in your life. Right. It is then when we need to call out to God the most. Right. When we are in them storms. Because, church, let me tell you something. We're going through this storm. We're going to go through this storm. I don't know where your storm is at this morning, but I know where my storm is at. And let me tell you something. Every time I come out of one storm, it seems like I'm going into another storm. I come out of one storm, I'm going into another storm. And the older you get, let me tell you something, the rockier your storms become. Hey, man, it was a time, you know, when you was in your 20s, you can shake things. But now, boy, you got to ride some storms. Amen. And without Jesus, let me tell you something. I don't know how folk live without Jesus. I don't know how in the world folk in the church don't live without Jesus. I don't know how in the world folk in the church can raise so much hell and then ride these storms. Man, let me tell you something. Boy, I just want peace because the storms is coming and the storms we cannot stop. The storms is coming. Wouldn't you like to go into a storm with peace? Wouldn't you like to go in your storm? Because the storm is coming. I guarantee you the storm is coming. Somebody in it right now. Amen. In a storm right now. Amen. If not all of us. Amen. I know I am. I look like I stay in a storm. Amen. And look what the Bible says in verse number 29. Watch this here. In verse number 29, the Bible says.
Then fearing lest we should have.
Amen. Falling
upon rock.
Okay.
They cast 4 anchors.
Amen.
Out of the stern. And
amen. They cast how many? Four anchors. Now, I want us to notice 4 anchors that will hold you in any storm. Okay. I want us to notice. And number one, the first anchor that needs to be cast out. Okay. You're in the storm now. Okay. And the first anchor that needs to be cast out, amen, is the presence of God. We need to be in the presence of God. Amen. Watch this here in Hebrews. In Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. The Bible says, I will never leave thee, nor will I ever forsake you. We need to cast out the storm. We need to cast out the anchor that is the presence of God. Amen. We need to stay in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. And in church, let me tell you something. Paul understood this because in the 23rd verse of our lesson text, Paul says, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve. Church, we need to be in the presence of God always. Amen. Now, what separates us and takes us out of the presence of God is sin. Right. Amen. Sin. Amen. Amen. We need to understand S-I-N. in. It takes us out of the presence of God. If I'm living in my sin and then I go into my storm, man, I don't have a chance. And that's why we are being weather beaten. That's why we are being wore out. That's why we are being tired. That's why the church is frustrated, because we are going into these storms in sin. Amen. And when we go in these storms and we're in sin, we're not in the presence of God, because God is not going to look upon, nor is he going to hear this sin. God don't hear our prayers, church. And when we go in these storms, you ever notice when you're in your sin, how long you stay in that storm? Amen. I don't know. Y'all can tell the truth. I won't tell nobody. Amen. Y'all can tell the truth. Amen. It seems that, man, when you're in your sin and you get in a storm, you just can't get out of it. Things just seem to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you blame everybody but yourself. And the truth of the matter is, you ain't in the presence of God. Amen. And that's why you see when you finally get it right. You ever notice when you finally get it right with God, when you stop blaming everybody else and then just start dealing with yourself and say, you know what, I'm messed up. And then you go to the Lord and say, God, please forgive me, God, and start repenting. And you go back and start making amends and you start fixing your life. And you know what? Then you begin to come out that storm. And then you want God to bring you out the storm when you're in your sin. But God, he can't hear you. God ain't hearing you. Amen. Amen. So we have to understand, when we're in this storm, we have to be in the presence of God. That's the first anchor you need to drop. Amen. Amen. Paul says they dropped four anchors. And you need your first anchor need to be the presence of God. You need to make sure this morning that you are in the presence of God. Because you're in the storm. You might not think you're in the storm this morning, but let Brother Prewitt tell you, you're in the storm. Amen. The seas might look calm this morning, but I guarantee you, you're going to go right into a storm. If you're not in it, you're going, you're headed in it. Most of us, amen, and most of us older folks, we understand that. David understood it. David says in Psalms 23 and verse number 4, David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, he says, I will fear no evil. Amen, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. He says, they comfort me. Amen, y'all know that text. But David says, God, you know what? I don't know, even in the shadows of death. He says, God, I know that you are with me. That's the anchor that we have to anchor. We have to throw that one out. Amen. And you know what? And when you're in the presence of God, let me tell you something. That anchor will hold your ship steady. That anchor will hold your ship from rocking and tossing you out of it. That anchor, church. And that is the presence of God. I can't do anything unless I'm in the presence of God. Because if I'm not in the presence of God, I have no power. I have no power, church. How in the world am I going to outlast these storms if I don't have God in my life? How in the world am I going to outlast these storms if my life is jacked up? How am I going to outlast these storms? There's no way in the world that I'm going to defeat Satan if I don't have God in my life. Life. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you can walk in the midst of death and know that God is with you? And David says, I know that he's with me. He says, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. He says, that's what comforts me. Jesus says, I'm that good shepherd. I'm that good shepherd. And you know what? That rod and that staff, you know, it had a purpose. Amen. Yeah, man, that staff had a way of keeping them old sheep, you know, from falling off them hilly hills until their death. And watch this here, and the rod, it was to fight off the wolves. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one that's going to keep you from falling. But you got to be in me, and I got to be in you. Amen. Church, we got to understand, in Psalms 27 and verse number 10, even if my father and my mother abandoned me, the Lord cares for me. We have to know that God cares for us. And we have to know that God, we are in God's presence at all times. Even if my mama leave me, even if my daddy leave me, God will be with me. I have to know that. And then I know when I'm in my storms. You know, mom and daddy causes a lot of storms in a lot of folk lives. That's why we see mamas and daddies walking off from kids causing these storms. But the Bible says, even if my mama abandoned me, even if my daddy abandoned me, God cares for me. Ain't that good to know that God cares for you even when your mama don't care for you, when your babies don't care for you, when your boyfriend don't care for you, when your husband don't care for you, but God cares for me in the midst of my storms, because I'm in a storm. Amen. And I know that God cares for me. Amen. And I know that I'm going to be able to come out this storm. Amen. And you know what? The storm just ain't so rocky when I'm in the presence of God. Why? Because God is caring for me. You know, when you know that God is caring for you, you know what you do? You just sometimes, man, you just kick back and ride the storm. Boat just rocking, everybody all upset, ready to jump out the boat, and you like Jesus on the hinder part of the ship. Amen. You can be like, y'all looking at me funny. You can be like Jesus. That's what it means to be a child of God. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's to mimic Jesus. Amen. When the boat is rocking, take a nap. Ain't no sense in being up there trying to drive the boat. Leave the boat alone and let God take care of it. Amen. But that you gotta have the Spirit of God living in you, though. Amen. See, when you in your sin, amen. And I know that ain't going on down here, but I just, in the event that y'all can help somebody, just tell them, when you in your sin, amen. See, you get frustrated. When you're in your sin, you get angry. Instead of being angry and channeling that anger to me, I channel that anger to somebody else. Why? Because I'm in my sin and it ain't working for me. The boat rocking too much. I'm in a storm and I can't seem to get out that storm. And it looks like instead of looking over and seeing Crete over there, amen, amen, instead of seeing Crete over there, guess what? All I'm seeing is more water. Waves is getting tall. Why? Because I'm in my sin. Church, I'm trying to get you to understand this morning, but we have to have God with us. We got to have God with us as we ride these storms. Look what Isaiah says in Isaiah 43 and verse number 2. Look what Isaiah says. Isaiah says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When I pass through the water, I know that God is going to be with me. And through the rivers, Isaiah says, they shall not overflow me. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt be with me. I shall not burn. If you think God is lying, ask them Hebrew boys. If you think, you ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you think God is lying, God says, listen, when you are in my presence, when you're right with me, he says, I'll be with you even in the fire. God says, I'll be with you in the fire. Amen. And so when your storms come, Sister Williams, when them storms come, you can lay back on the hinder part of the ship. And you can say, God, ride this boat for me. Because I know that you're going to be with me. When all hell break loose around you. When fire is burning. Your fire is everywhere. Be like the Hebrew boy. Amen. When old Nebuchadnezzar looked in that furnace that he had made hot 15 times as hot, he looked in there and he says, look, it looked like one is in there, looked like a son of man. Hebrew boys came out, fire so hot, it was killing the soldiers. And they wasn't in the furnace. When they came out, Lord Jesus, Nebuchadnezzar said, not one stench of the hair has burned. God will take you through the fire. God will take you through the fire. But see, them Hebrew boys had the Spirit of God all over them. And that's what we have to have, is the Spirit of God all over us. And when the storms of life come down, and when they get to shaking and rocking, and it's going to roll, and when they get to shaking around and rolling around, let me tell you something. When your boat is rocking, just know that God is right there with you. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley. Somebody got to walk through the valley. David says, as I walk through that valley, God is going to be with me. Always God is going to be with me. David says, I'm not afraid. God is with me. And sometimes we got to understand, in your storm, who's with me? The one that says, you can't even drown when you walk through the water. Ask Peter, old Peter. Peter says, Lord, bid me that I come out of the water. Jesus says, come on. Hey, man, but Peter got scared. But see, we cannot get scared, God. Church, we can't get scared. Storms are coming.
Amen.
Storms is here. Storms is here. A lot of us is suffering financial difficulties. A lot of us have physical difficulties and maladies, and things are going on in our life. But just know that God is going to see you through. As we go through this year, I want you to know that God is going to be with us if we with him. That's why James says, draw closer to God, and God is going to draw closer to you. But you got to draw closer to God. Don't worry about what other folks say. Don't worry about what other folks say. Don't worry about what other folks do. Stop worrying about other folks. You better start worrying about you. Because God is going to see you through it. I don't want you to see me through it. You can ride with me, but I'm not going to depend on you. I'm like Peter. When Peter started to sink, Peter didn't call him. He didn't call him other fishermen, did he? He called on the Lord. Amen. You can go with me, but I can't depend on you. I'm going to ride my storm. And you know what? I ain't going to let it. And I'm going to lay on the back and the hinder part of the ship. I'm going to ride my storm in peace. I'm talking about me now. I'm going to ride my storm. You got to ride your storm in peace. Why? Because you're in the presence of God.
Amen.
Boy, when you're in the presence of God, let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about it. That's why Isaiah say, when I pass through the waters, when I pass through the waters, God is going to be right there with me. Through this storm. Through this storm, church. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you about anchor number two. Anchor number two is the promises of God.
All right.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
The promises of God. And you know what? God is not a man that of God can lie.
Right.
I don't know if y'all understand that, but God can't lie. If God promised you something, God is going to deliver.
Right.
Boy, when you're in a storm, wouldn't it be nice to know that God is what God said he's going to do, he's going to do? Amen. Yeah, amen. But you know what? You think about this here. Think about this. And most of us as Christians don't believe that. Really. Really. Honestly, you know why? Because we worry. Matthew 6:33 tells us not to worry. And we worry. What are we worried about? Why are we fearful of certain things? God done already promised us things. So God done promised us that we will have, listen to me, God done already promised us that we're going to have eternal life. God done already told us that there won't be no tears in heaven. God done already told us that he's going to wipe away every tear. God done already told us that there won't be no more pain. God done told us that there won't be no more sorrow. God then told us that one day we're going to be able to worship him. We're going to be centered around the throne. God then told us that we're going to shout hallelujah in heaven. God then already told us that there's going to be some joy in heaven. What are we worried about? Step out on the promises of God. When you're in your storm, know that God is in control. Know that he is in control. I'm just a gypsy. I'm just passing through this place. God is in control. Ain't that good to know? God is in control. God done already promised me a mansion, a robe, and a crown. Amen. I'm getting my crown fitted for this old big head of mine. Amen. I'm ready. That's why Paul at the end of his life could say, I'm ready now. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. That's why Paul can say, I'm ready. Lord, I feel like preaching. I feel like preaching. Paul says, I'm ready. I'm ready. He says, a crown awaits me. Not to me only, but to all of y'all in this building this morning. Paul says, I'm ready. I'm going to step out on the promises of God. So Paul anchored on the promises of God. Let me tell you, when you're in your storm, throw your anchor in the promises of God. Don't worry about what Brother Pree would say. Throw your promises in the anchor of God. Is that all right? Amen, church. You got to be ready for this stuff. Amen. Because God, he's with you. Now watch what the book's saying. In Romans 4 and verse number 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he will also deliver. He will also perform. Whoa, hallelujah. Sister Stewart. Boy, oh, Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, God is too good. What God says, God, Lord, help me.
That's right.
That's why the psalmist could say in Psalm 30 and verse number 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Oh, hallelujah. Joy is coming. Boy, God said it. I believe it. So in your storm, as your boat rocking, just know that you're getting ready. You're getting ready to pull into port. Know that you're getting ready to pull in. And when you pull in, you're going on Liberty Call. Is that all right? You're going on Liberty Call when you pull in. You're going to have some, y'all don't know, for those that's not sailors, but when you, Liberty Call means fun. I mean, go and have some fun. That's what it's about, and that's what Christianity is about. Weeping may endure for a night, but the psalmist says joy going to come in the morning. Joy coming in the morning. Your night might be a little bit longer than my night, but guess what? Joy's still coming in the morning. Why? Because God said it. And when God said it, that's what God means. Amen. It's a shame when I cut God's joy off. You ever see some folk just like misery. They just like to be in a storm. They operate better in a storm. It's like those of us that was in the Navy, you know, the boat be out there just rocking, that old ship be just rocking, going back and forth, and half of a seasick, and half, other half leaning to the side, can barely walk, can't walk, you know, but then you got those that walk down the ship just like the boat ain't rocking. Hey man, they straight as an arrow. How in the world they do that? And that's the same way with a lot of folk in the church. A lot of folk operate out of crisis. A lot of folk operate out of storms. They operate out of chaos. Right, right. They just operate. Amen. And that's why when Jesus came to that man at the pool, and Jesus asked that man, he said, man, do you want to be healed? You would think that man want to be healed after 38 years. But a lot of folk like just waddle in their misery. And so they will cut God's joy out of their life. God says, when you're in my presence, when you step out on my, when you anchor in my promises, he says, well, guess what? We've been going to endure for a night, yeah, because you're born for trouble. But guess what? Joy is going to come in the morning. Joy is going to come in the morning. Early in the morning, too. Early in the morning. Joy is coming, church. And so I tell you this. I say all of this to say this. When you're in your storm, know that the boat is going to anchor. All you have to do is just know where to throw the anchor. Don't throw the anchor in the middle of the storm out there in the water, because if you do, you're going to lose your anchor. Amen. You got to wait till you get to the right spot. In other words, you got to wait until you're close to God. Don't be trying to throw your anchor out there and you all jacked up. First thing you need to do is get right with God. Keep your anchor in the boat, because if you throw it out there and you ain't ready. Amen. And that's what happens to a lot of times. That's what happens to us. We throw our anchor out and we're not ready. We ask God to bless us and we ain't ready. We ask God to open doors, but God knows if you walk through the door, you're going to fall off a cliff. So he'll keep the door locked. Are y'all with me? God knows best. Not fathers know best, but God knows best. Amen. Well, yeah, that father, he certainly do know best. So church, you want to anchor. The second one is, as I say, you want to anchor in the promises of God. You want to anchor in the promises of God. Romans 8 and verse number 28, and we know that all things work, what? Together for the good to those who love God. That's how it works when you love God. The greatest commandment of them all is to do what? Love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Amen. And I tell people this all the time. Don't try and love me. I'm too far down the chain. You're dropping too low there. Love God first. If you love God, you'll love me. Fall in love with God. And when you don't love me, guess what? You don't love God. You can say, you can holler, shout, oh, how I love Jesus, and oh, how I want to see him, and everybody going to be happy. You ain't going to be happy over there, because you ain't gone. If you don't love me, to love me is to love God. You better remember that. Don't try and love me if you don't love God. And if you don't love God, I know you don't. If you don't love me, I know you don't love God. And amen. So when we see all of this stuff going on in the church and we see people and people talking about they love God, but yet and still the brother that sits next to them, whom they see every day, they don't love. And then the God that they never see, how in the world are you going to love him? No way. Love starts with God. Amen. Church, are y'all with me? And watch this here, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 17, we read that, divine grace, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. These are the promises of God. Paul says, the Bible says over there in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, the Bible says, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Ain't that deep? My grace is sufficient. My grace. Paul says, God, remove this. You ever ask God to remove something? God, I'm hurting. I don't know what that thorn was. I don't know. But whatever it was bothering Paul. Because Paul says, thrice I went to the Lord. It was bothering Paul, whatever it was. And God told Paul, look, Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient. That's all you need. Church, let me tell you, no matter where you at today, no matter where your life is at today, God's grace is sufficient. Amen. And then, church, number three, the third anchor. I want you to see this. Anchor three is the providence of God. God was working out his plan in Paul's life. Verse number 24 of our text. And he is doing the same in your life. It may be simple faith, but I still believe that God is a sovereign God. In Psalms 57, in verse number 1, the Bible says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, God. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed. Boy, that's trusting God. No matter where you, how your boat is rocking right now. No matter where you are right now, look what the psalmist says. Be merciful. But it meant so much to the psalmist. The psalmist said it twice. See, usually when something means something to you, you know what? You go back. It's okay to go to God. Some people say, well, once you go to God, that's it. That's not what the Bible teaches us. You trust God, so you go to God. You ask God. Look what the psalmist said. He says, Lord, be merciful to me. He says, oh, God, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you. And the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. He says, God, in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. I will be right there underneath you. I will be right there with you, God. Why? Because I trust you. He says, because I trust you. And then he says, please, he says, I'll make my refuge in you. And guess what? He says, until these calamities have passed by.
All right.
I told you, church, we must be in the presence of God as we enter into these storms.
Amen.
As we in our storms, we must be in the presence of God. And we must take refuge with God. And when we take refuge with God, church, let me tell you something. And let me tell you something. When we take refuge with it, and as these calamities, all of these things that is affecting us, and as they pass us by, when you stay under the wings of God, because God is always going to sit high and look low. Stay under the wings of God. Stay under the wings of God. Keep God in your life. Don't ever let go of God's unchanging hand. Stay with God. Amen. And then look what Isaiah says in Isaiah 25 in verse number 4. For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Look, Isaiah says, God, you have been a strength to me. Not only have you been a strength to me, he says, but you have been a refuge to me from the storm. We must stay in the presence of God. We must stay in the presence of God. As this thing, as life began to deal you all of these calamities, as they start to come, don't leave. Paul told them sailors, he says, look, don't you jump out this ship. Don't jump out of this ship. Don't leave. Don't jump out the ship. And I say to you this morning, no matter where you are, no matter what is going on, don't jump out the ship. Don't you leave the church. I don't care what you see in the church. Don't you leave the church. I don't care what you hear in the church. Don't you leave the church. Why? Because the church is the presence of God. Why? Because the church. The church is the door or the gate to heaven. You won't be able to get to heaven unless you go through the church.
Right.
Unless you go through the body of Christ, you will not be able to get to heaven.
Right.
And you will not receive the promises of God. So no matter where you are today, don't jump ship.
Amen.
Don't get out the boat.
Right.
You stay in the boat.
Amen.
I don't care if all hell break loose. I'm not going anywhere. I don't care what y'all do. Y'all can act a fool. Y'all can cut each other up. Y'all can break out the switchblade. You can come in here with the shotgun. I'll just get in the back so I can get out fast, but I'm coming. I ain't going nowhere. You ain't shaking me. I'm going to ride the storm. Why? Because God is in this storm. Why? Because God is in the church. I know the church sometimes seems worse than a storm. But God is in the storm. God is in the church. I ain't going nowhere. Yeah, I don't care what y'all do. Y'all can act up, cut up, fuss up. I don't care what y'all do. I don't care what you say about me. I'm staying in the church. Anchor number four. As we close. Anchor number four. Verse number 44. Let us run over to 27:44 real quick. Now watch this here. Verse number, the and others. You got it?
Yeah. And the rest?
Okay.
Some on board.
Okay.
And some on broken pieces.
Lord Jesus.
And so it came to pass.
Right.
That they escaped all safe to land.
Amen. Now watch this here. The others held onto planks. They struggling, boy. They ain't. But Paul told them, just hang in there. Y'all going to be all right. Amen. And let me tell you something. When the preacher say hang in there, please, hang in there. Look at them. Now watch this here. The Bible, look at this. They grab planks. They grab whatever they could grab. Now look at here. It says the others held onto planks and debris from the broken ship. So everyone escaped safely to shore. Church, let me tell you something. Don't underestimate the performance of God. Don't y'all underestimate the performance of God. The angel came to Paul and told Paul, Paul, I'm with you. Tell him not to jump ship. Everyone made it safely to the shore. God is able to work it all out. No matter where you are, God will work it out for you. Do y'all understand that? He will get you through your storm. Not only will he get you through the storm, but guess what? He will land you safely beyond your storm. You know what? When God take you through a storm, you ever notice when you go through a storm, if you stay with God, you always come out better than when you went in that storm. You ever notice when you come out of a storm, when you stayed with God, you ever notice that when you come out of the storm, you're much stronger than you were when you went in that storm? Did you ever notice that every time you run into troubles, trials, tribulations, temptations, and all of this, that it makes you stronger and stronger when you stay in the presence of God, when you trust God, when you trust what God will say? God always performs. God always makes you feel better. You ever notice that you go into a storm, you're a midget, and you come out, you're a giant? You ever notice that? You ever notice you go in and your mind is confusing, and when you come out, you have clarity? You ever notice that when you go through a storm, you go in and hate and come out in love? You ever notice that you go in chaos and come out in peace? Have you ever noticed that? I don't know if y'all noticed that, but I noticed that. I noticed that storms have caused me to be a better Christian. And that's what God does. God performs. God works it out for you. God, and not only do he bring you to shore, but he land you safely on shore. And every time when you come out, you ever notice, I'm talking about real sensible folk now. I'm talking about some real sensible folk. But you ever notice when you come out of a storm, you don't go back in the same storm, you take a different sea next time? Amen. You don't go back in that same storm. Amen. That's just like boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife. Once you get rid of that joker, you're a fool to go back. He done been beating you for 50 years. What you going back for? Amen. So you don't go back. You don't go back to that same sea. You take enough, you're going to have to go through another. Let God work in your life because storms are coming. Storms are coming. But you know, you become, you know, we don't have to go back and do the same thing over and over and over and over. Don't go back in there. Stay out of that. Amen. If somebody done hurt you and they don't want to repent, and I'm talking about repent. I ain't talking about report. I said repent. In other words, if they don't want to turn, what they doing is wrong. You know what? Don't be a fool. Now, the Bible says don't. It says be wise, be circumspect. In other words, keep your head turning. And watch these people. Watch these people. Don't let nobody hurt you twice. Just keep on hurting you because I'm a Christian. Well, maybe I'm not that well, but I ain't going to let you just keep hurting me. Amen. Don't go back into that storm. That creates too much chaos in your life. And you know what it's designed to do is to take you away from God. That's what it's designed to do. Let God perform in your life. Let God perform in your life. And as we close, remember, in Verse number 30, in Psalms 18 and verse number 2, look what the psalmist says. You have to go to Psalms to really understand it. He says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength. In whom I will trust. He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation. And not only that, the psalmist says he's my high tower. Amen. You know, I mean, if the psalmist is your, if God is your high tower, guess what you're doing? You're watching out. You're watching over. Amen. When you look through the eyes of God, church, you're watching out. You're watching over. You can see storms. That's why that's why it's important to understand to be like an eagle. Be like an eagle. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 40, take the wings of an eagle and fly. Something interesting about an eagle. An eagle flies up over the storm. And an eagle smells and senses the storm. Church, let me tell you something. We ought to have that sixth sense that we can sense trouble. Some folk you know is trouble. Amen. You ought to, when you smell it, leave it alone. Amen. Amen. And that's what an eagle does. An eagle smells trouble. He sees the storm comes in, and what the eagle does, his strength takes him up, and he hovers. He sits right on top of the storm, and he watches the storm, and when the storm goes, he comes back in. All right, now. That's why the Bible says, take wings as eagles. Amen. That's why God is to be our high tower. We can look out over a lot of this stuff. Yeah. See, we walk into a lot of stuff. We just walk into it blind. Why? Because we don't trust God. We don't trust what God says. We ain't ever been taught that we supposed to be on top of the storm, looking down over a lot of this mess. And a lot of this stuff, you keep yourself out of trouble in the church if you take the wings of an eagle. Amen. You can see it. Man, an eagle, you don't find no eagles dead in no hurricane and stuff because they sit on top of it. Amen. And when all hell, when the hurricanes and the trouble and the typhoons and all of this other stuff break loose in the church, be on top of it. All right. Have God as your refuge. Have God as your high tower. Have him as your buckler, your shield. And when all of this mess going on, just stand up there and watch it as it develops and unfold. Because you know what? You won't be able, trust me, church, you can't do nothing about it. All right. Only thing you can do is be a light, be an example. You can't change. Some folk you'll never change. Stop trying. You'll waste your whole life trying to change folk. Stop. Get in the tower. Get in God and watch out. Get in God and watch out. Grab eagle, grab wings like an eagle and sit on top of the mess. That's what I do. I just look at it and pray. I sure be glad when that storm is over so I can go in and eat. And then I'm cool. I'll sure be glad when that one is over. Because you can't stop this stuff. I didn't learn that until I started preaching. I thought I could change the world. I jumped out there preaching. Wow, wow, preaching. Woe me out. And you know what? They got worse. I said, Lord, what? I thought it was me. But then I realized, you can't change folk. Stop trying. But I know who I can change. Me. By the power of God. Amen. Are y'all with me? Now, that's number four, and we close. Accept the storm. These sailors listened to Paul and ate and went on with life. Church, there comes a time when we have to surrender to the Lord's will and allow God to have his way in us. Can't change, folk. We can't change storms. We got to ride the storms. We got to anchor in the storm. We can either bend under his hand or God will break us. The choice is entirely ours today. All right. If you are a vine, if a vine grows against a tree, either the winds will force the vine closer to the trunk or the tree will shelter the vine from the wind. You don't have to like it, but you do need to submit to God today. Amen. Submit it. Submit to God. 1 Peter 5 and 6. The Bible says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that God may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God cares for you. In James 4 and verse number 10, Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Amen.
Await your deliverance this morning. The storm ended, yours will too. Somewhere, whether on this shore or on that shore, on the other side, your storm will end.
Right.
Until it does, submit.
Right.
Submit to the Lord. Serve the Lord, and you know that you are going to make it.
Amen.
If you submit to God and serve God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always, always, always abound in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
For as much as you know, church, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God has never and God never will lose even one of his littlest children. God will never lose you.
Amen.
If your sea is rough today, I encourage you to cast your anchor. Cast your anchor upon the solid rock. And tie yourself up to Jesus right this moment. He already knows about what you face. He knows your storms. But he wants you to depend on him for your need. He wants you to depend on you, on him rather. In his presence is the place where storms are conquered. God will calm the seas, the wind. When Peter and the rest of those disciples was on that ship, the storms began to rage. The winds began to be boisterous. The waves began to come up and the water began to come in the boat. The boat now began to sink and the boat began to look like it was going to sink and it was rocking. Peter and all of these brothers on this boat are fishermen and they understood what a fisherman goes through when he dies. And so Peter and the rest of those disciples ran to Jesus. And they said, Lord, do you care that we die? The boat is sinking, Lord. Lord, do you care? And Jesus on the hinder part of the ship rested. And as the boat rocked and the boat sank, I don't know where your boat is at this morning. Where is rocking and where is shaking? I don't know how much water in your boat. I don't know if it's seawater or fresh water. I don't know what's in your boat this morning. But let me tell you something. I don't know where you're at in your storm. But let me tell you something. Wake him up. Wake Jesus up this morning. Go call on the mighty name of Jesus.
All right.
Call on Jesus. I don't care where you are. You call on Jesus and ask Jesus to, Jesus, help me. I'm sinking. Your Lord, help me. I'm dying in this storm. Help me, Lord. And let God raise you up. Let God do it. And watch God say, peace. Be still. Let him shout this morning. Let him shout from heaven, peace. Be still. Let him shout from the depths, peace, be still. Let him shout from mama, peace, be still. Let him shout, peace, be still. Your storm this morning is God's storm. It's God's storm. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. Don't go in this storm alone. Don't. You don't have to go in this storm alone. Because the storm is coming. You can't stop it. You have no control over the seas of life. You have no control over the geography of life. It is what it is. But you don't have to go in it alone. Please, if you're here this morning, you got trouble. You got trouble. And if you don't have any, stop lying. You do got trouble. Stop that. Don't y'all do that. Ain't that right? Leandra looking at me like he done lost his mind. Stop that. I told you, if you ain't in a storm, you're headed into one. Trust me. Y'all better start listening to the prophet. Trust me. Start listening to the preachers. Storms are everywhere. But you don't have to do this alone. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. Let me tell you how you can put God in your life this morning. And that is by believing what you've heard. And that is the gospel. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Believe him. He says, and watch this here, I want us to understand something. He says, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God will calm your storm. God will reward you this morning. His presence will reward you this morning. You might not get a Cadillac. You might not get a Lexus. And you might not get a big fine house. But you can get a mansion, a robe, and a crown. I'd rather have that any day. Believe it this morning. And then after you believe it, the Bible says one must repent. In other words, make a mental decision this morning to repent. Jesus, I like what Jesus says. Jesus says, I tell you nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Bible says at one time God winked at this ignorance, but in these last days God have commanded all men everywhere to do what? To repent. And that don't mean report. Ain't no sense in coming up here reporting. Just stay on where you're at. You report to your kids or somebody. But God don't want you to report. God wants you to repent. What God wants you to do is to make up in your mind that I'm going to turn from wrong and turn to right. I'm going to change directions on this thing. And then after that sweet repentance, one must confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. You must confess Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then Matthew 33, 32 and 3. Jesus says, I tell you nay, but except you repent. And then he goes on to say, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall not confess me, I won't confess him before my Father which is in heaven. And then you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 2, 37 and 38, when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard the gospel. They heard that the sin had put Jesus on that cross. That's what they heard. They heard that they was murderers. And the Bible says that they was convicted. They was cut to their heart. And when they was cut to their heart, they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? See, you got to be cut to your heart. You got to realize that you're a sinner. You got to realize that it was your sin that put him on the cross. It wasn't the Roman soldiers. It wasn't those that was hollering, kill him and release Barabbas. It was your sin. It was sin that put him on the cross. But guess what kept him on the cross? It was the love that he had for all of us. Love kept him up there. Amen. It was sin that put him up there, but love kept him up there. And then they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Peter didn't say, go and tarry at the altar. Peter didn't say the sinner's prayer. He showed up. He says, this is what I want you to repent. Every one of you. Every one of you. He says, repent. Repent. And be baptized. Repent and be baptized. For what? For the remission of your sins. In other words, to wash away your sins. You can't see, we are the temple of God. Let me tell y'all something. Church, we are the temple of God. First Corinthians 6. We are the temple of God. Amen. God lives in us. Right. And if this temple is not clean, God don't live in it. That's why if you're caught up in your sin, your state, that's why I keep telling you, if you are in your sins, you're caught up in your sin, you're lying and all of this old stuff, and you don't expect for God to come hang out up in that temple. We are the temple of God. God lives in us. God lives in us. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. And not only that, but then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't get the Holy Spirit until you repent. First of all, you got to be convicted. Cut. You got to be. And that's the problem today. See, we just throw out a sermon and everybody jump and they run and they're not convicted. Amen. And you ever notice people jump and run, get in the water, we baptize them, they run, go right back to what they're doing. Amen. They go up and get in the water, they were shacking up when we jump or baptized, they run right back out and they shacking up. I was one. Amen. Amen. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. I'm trying to tell you this here. This is serious business. Serious business. You got to be converted. You have to be. And the only way you're going to be converted is first be convicted. And then once you're convicted, God will wash away your sins in water baptism. And then not only that, God will give you himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. And you know what the Holy Spirit do? He comforts you. He guides you. He strengthens you. He's your companion. He's your friend. He prays for you. All the things that you need to ride out the storms of life. We're going to stand and sing the Savior's invitation. Please come. Give me your hand and give God your heart this morning. Give him your heart.